STR podcasts are brought to you through the generous support of people just like you. You can support these podcasts by making a gift online at str.org or by phone at 1-800-2-REASON.
Evolution can be overwhelming. That's because it draws upon evidence from multiple disciplines, right? You have evidence coming from geology or paleontology or genetics or chemistry or other fields of science. And so it's kind of hard to know where to begin when you address the issue. And so that's why I suggest using an easy yet powerful tactic that can help you to handle this issue of evolution. And so whenever you come across the topic of evolution, just simply ask a question. What definition of evolution is being used? And since evolution has at least three different meanings, it's essential to know which one is being invoked when you read about it in an article, or you're watching it on watching some show about it on television, or you're talking to somebody. And so there's three different definitions. The first one is change over time. Sometimes evolution can simply refer to change over time. Now, in this sense, virtually everything evolves, right? Cities evolve, clouds evolve, personalities evolve, and even your hairstyle evolves. And so, as you can see, there's nothing controversial about this meaning of evolution. And consequently, anyone can subscribe to it. Now, there's a second definition of evolution, and that is microevolution. Now, I know some people get a little nervous or uncomfortable with the terms microevolution and another one I'm going to use in a little bit, and that is known as macroevolution. And they say, well, these are terms that aren't scientifically correct. They are invented by people who object to evolution. But in reality, these words merely refer to the special theory of evolution and the general theory of evolution, respectively. And in fact, they're concepts that Darwin himself introduced in his book on the Origin of Species. Furthermore, evolutionists themselves routinely use these terms in the scientific literature when they're talking about evolution. So again, I think there's nothing inappropriate with using the terms micro and macroevolution. They simply refer to well-known concepts in evolutionary thinking. But anyways, getting back to the issue here, the second definition of evolution here is microevolution, also known as the special theory of evolution. And this entails minor changes that take place within a species that allow it to survive. And as I mentioned, Charles Darwin himself advanced this concept in the first five chapters of his landmark book On the Origin of Species. And so here's a couple examples of this. One of them that evolutionists routinely like to cite is the ability of bacteria to develop a resistance to antibiotics. And so because bacteria can sort of change in this way, they are said to evolve and become immune to drugs that are normally designed to kill them. Now, another example of microevolution is finch beak variation. And this is something that Princeton University researchers Peter and Rosemary Grant, who actually followed Darwin's initial observations of finches on the Galapagos Islands, learned about. And what these researchers discovered is that droughts on the islands produce mostly large and hard seeds that only finches with big beaks can eat. And so the birds with smaller beaks that are unable to crack and consume these larger seeds tend to die off. And so what happens is this increases the population of finches with large beaks and reduces the number of finches with small beaks. So notice both of these examples, bacteria's ability to develop a resistance to antibiotics and this finch beak variation. Notice that both of these examples of microevolution are observable. In other words, they happen within our own lifetime. And so no one doubts that these small changes can occur. And that's why this second definition of evolution is also not controversial. But there's a third definition of evolution, and that is macroevolution. Macro meaning large, and evolution meaning change. And this is also known as the general theory of evolution. And this molecules to man hypothesis basically says that every living plant and animal that exists today, or in fact, for that matter, that has ever existed, has evolved from a single-celled organism by small incremental changes. And so evolutionists believe that macroevolution is the same process as microevolution, but simply left to run for millions of years. And so in that sense, macroevolution is sort of an extrapolation of microevolution. And this definition is often referred to as Darwinism. Now, unlike microevolution, macroevolution is unobservable. Okay, we don't see it happen in our lifetime because, of course, it happens over millions, or allegedly happens over millions and millions of years. So therefore, it assumes the small micro changes observed in bacteria and in finches are also responsible for the large macro transitions that evolve, say, fish into reptiles or dinosaurs into birds and produce other sorts of, you know, very large-scale changes. Now, it's not merely that macroevolution is unobservable that makes people doubt it occurred. It's that they're skeptical that the mechanism involved in microevolution is also responsible for macroevolution. And that's why this third definition of evolution is controversial. Okay? Now, here's why defining the term evolution is so critical. This is why this tactic of asking what definition of evolution are you talking about is so important. You see, Darwinists often will equivocate on the term evolution, right? What they'll do is they'll cite examples of change over time, the first definition, and microevolution, the second definition, to prove that macroevolution, that third definition, has occurred. So, for example, they'll point to antibiotic-resistant bacteria and call it evolution. And then they say, see, bacteria have evolved, right? Therefore, evolution must be true. And by evolution must be true, they mean macroevolution. But you see, that's precisely what's in question. Can these micro changes within a species somehow add up and account for large-scale transitions? Now, the National Academy of Sciences, which is arguably the most powerful science organization in the United States, often will equivocate on the definition of evolution. In fact, I have here in my hand a 140-page guidebook that they produced. It's called Teaching About Evolution and the Nature of Science. And this guidebook is intended to help educators explain Darwinism. And in fact, they do also a lot to help educators respond to, you know, those wacky, crazy Christians and other skeptics of evolution. So it teaches them how to respond to these people, right? Now, in this guidebook, most of the evidence for evolution includes examples of change over time and microevolution, basically the first and second definitions of evolution, which nobody contests. And again, since everyone virtually agrees that these instances of evolution are genuine, people are then led to believe that's all that's needed to prove that macroevolution also occurred. So, for example, on page 11 of this guidebook, it tells us that a major theme in evolution is that, quote, the world around us changes. This simple fact is obvious everywhere we look. Streams wash dirt and stones from higher places to lower places. Untended gardens fill with weeds. End quote. Now, of course, things change, you know, referring to the first definition of evolution. We all know that. But the process that moves dirt and stones downstream can't produce beaks and birds, right? That's really what needs to be explained. Or take another example on page 55. The guidebook says, quote, evolution in the broadest sense explains that what we see today is different from what existed in the past. Galaxies, stars, the solar system, and the Earth have changed through time, and so has life on Earth, end quote. Now again, this is just change over time. You know, no one contests this. But the cause of cosmic events don't seem to be able to explain that same process has also caused dinosaurs to evolve into birds. You know, that's the question. You know, can it do that? Another example, page 17 of the guidebook, will tell us this, quote, the North American lacewing species, and I won't be able to pronounce it, but basically it's this flying insect, separated from a common ancestor species recently in evolutionary time and are very similar. But they are different in color, reflecting their different habitats, and they breed at different times in the year, end quote. So again, you have this insect, and now you have, two different species of this insect, and they're different. They have different colors, and these different insects reproduce at different times of the year. Again, this is simply microevolution at work, this the second definition. You know, it's easy to see how a subpopulation of an insect can become isolated and begin to breed at a different time of year. But it's not as clear, though, how that same process can create the insects in the first place. And that's what needs to be explained. Now, the guidebook goes on to describe finch beak variation on page 19. It talks about antibiotic resistance bacteria on pages 16 and 17, which, again, I've already referred to. But they never clarify, though, that these are examples of microevolution. Instead, it's implied that if you accept the observable changes in bacteria and in insects and in finches, then this proves evolution to be true and by implication also proves macroevolution to be true as well. But again, they never use these terms, micro and macroevolution. They just simply use the term evolution in every instance, thereby equivocating on the term. And so that's why it's critical to define the term evolution. If you don't, you'll be led to accept that macroevolution is true simply because things change over time, that first definition, or because small changes can occur within a species, which is the second definition. And so whether you're reading a text, listening to a show, or you're talking to somebody, always employ this tactic first. Ask, what definition of evolution is being used? Again, it's a very simple yet very effective question that defines terms and gives you knowledge about the issue, and that will help you to know what definition is being invoked so you can respond appropriately.
You've been listening to Stand to Reason. Our podcasts are made possible by friends of this ministry through their generous support. You can support STR by making a gift online at str.org.